just want to make one comment about the sharing. We probably need to exercise a little censorship when the kids are still in the room, so that parents don't cringe a little bit when some topics are brought up or some words mentioned. Just a little fair warning. Just to be sensitive to that. We don't want to sugarcoat the truth or the reality of what's going on in the world in our midst, but we do kind of want to protect our kids a little bit. So just a reminder. All right. Father, this morning I pray that you would speak to us through your word. Enlighten our hearts, Lord, concerning what it is you want in our lives and how you want to do it. And inspire us, excite us, Lord, about the things you want, because they're good things. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 through 16 this morning. And in my Bible, there's a little notation or a little heading right above that section that says spiritual gifts. And I'm going to talk about some about the gifts, the spiritual gifts this morning. Paul writes, "But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift." And therefore, he says, "When he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men." Now this, he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. And he who descended is also the one ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful wiles, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." In 1 Corinthians 12, 13 and 14, those three chapters, Paul also teaches about spiritual gifts, and he starts there by saying, "Concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." In other words, I want you to be informed. I want you to know what's going on. And he goes on and he outlines how the Lord gives his people spiritual gifts, or we could say supernatural abilities. The Lord gives supernatural abilities to his people. Also in those passages called ministries, manifestations, or workings, activities of the Spirit. He gives supernatural abilities. Now, I was just at a movie last night in which there was a celebration of supernatural abilities. It was an X-Men movie. For those of you familiar with popular culture and comic books and movies, there was a movie about, among other things, accepting who you are with your supernatural abilities. Of course, the abilities that they imagine are probably far beyond the scope of what the Scripture is talking about. But the Scripture says the Spirit of God gives His people supernatural abilities, things that you were not born with, that were not natural to you, but they are given to you when you are born again. Do you all agree with that? And I ask you if you agree with that, because you will find groups and believers who do not believe that to be true today. Here at Mount Zion, officially we believe that to be true, that God gives gifts, and He does so today. Paul explains that the body of Christ is like a physical body. It has many different parts, and all the parts have different appearance and different function, but they're all part of the same body, and they're all important. Every part is vitally important. The body can't function properly without all of its parts. And we learn from those passages that no one has all the gifts. I think it would be fair to say no one person has all the gifts that God gives, except maybe Jesus Christ Himself, the giver of the gifts. And no one gift is common to all, unless we talk about the gift of salvation, which we have in common, the gift of the Holy Spirit. But what the Holy Spirit gives to each of us is different. And even the gift of tongues, which seems to be received by many people, is not received by everybody. So the result of this arrangement is that we need each other. We need each other. Getting just a little bit of echo in the room. The sound booth is paying attention up there. So it's essential what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 12:25 when he says that there should be no schism or no division, no separation in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. We're all interconnected, and we need to have the same care for one another. I remember a preacher years ago dwelling on that point and calling us the one another people. Christians are one another people. We need to care for one another. And Paul goes on in Corinthians in chapter 13 to stress the primacy of love. That in fact, without love, everything else is pretty much worthless. All the gifts, all the knowledge, all the ministries, all the workings, everything is in vanity. It's worthless without love. So that's a great motivating factor that we need in our lives, is Christ's love. And Paul goes on in 1 Corinthians 14 with an essay on tongues and prophecy, and talks about those two gifts and what they're about and what they're used for, in order to emphasize the importance of using our gifts to build up, to edify, to strengthen or encourage the church. All assembly, not just ourselves. And he has some practical instruction there how the church can conduct its meetings and express the gifts in such a way that things are done decently and in order. So that's just a brief overview of 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. But it relates to what Paul writes here in Ephesians 4, which is a much shorter passage on the gifts, but he packs a lot into a few verses, and I'm only going to hit the highlights. There's probably more in there than what I'm going to talk about this morning. So the first thing I just want you to notice about Ephesians 4 is that it talks about the unity and the diversity of the body of Christ. Now, you won't find that phrase explicitly in there, but it talks about those things, the unity and the diversity of the body of Christ. In the previous, the top verses at the beginning of chapter 4, he talks about one faith, one baptism, one Lord, one God. All of those things are unity is in the Lord, and there's only one Lord. There aren't many lords. And just like he emphasizes in 1 Corinthians 12, there are many parts to the body, but only one body. And so we don't get to invent all kinds of other gods, other Jesuses. We don't have our own faith. There's no denomination that can lay exclusive claim to God. He is much bigger than any of our limited viewpoints and our biased views about Him. He's even bigger than Mount Zion's view of Him. We haven't captured the whole unbiased truth. Unity and yet diversity. When he says, but to each one of us. Here we begin to see the diversity. Grace is given to each of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Or as Romans 12, verses 3 and 6, he writes it a little differently and says, God has dealt to each a measure of faith. And having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Different grace, different amounts of grace, different gifts, different workings, different manifestations given to each of us. Is that okay? Is that all right? If God does that, does He have the right to do that? There's one Lord, one God, one faith, but differences imparted to us. Can God be trusted to know what He's doing? Can we trust Him to do what's best? But here's the key takeaway in this, is that each one has received a supernatural gifting from the Lord. Each one. No one's excluded. Each one. When you are born again, when Christ comes to live in your heart, when His Spirit comes to dwell in you, He brings with Him something of the supernatural life of the Son of God. And He can't fully express all of Himself in any one person, but He expresses a little bit in you, and a little bit in you, and a little bit in you, and a little bit in me. And we each get different gifts, different manifestations. Now the question is, do you know what your gifts are? Are you meant to know? Do you think you're meant to know what your gifts are? Do you need to know what your gifts are? And do you know what they are for? Now, if you're thinking that I'm going to answer all those questions this morning, you'll be disappointed. Because I'm not going to go around and tell you what your gift is. Because I don't know what all your gifts are. The Lord knows. You probably need to go and ask the Lord. In Romans 12, Paul exhorts the saints when he says, having gifts, that's just assumed, having gifts, you have gifts. Having them, let us use them in proportion to what God has given. Or in other words, let us use them to the full extent of God's intent. There's my preacher coming through. You know, preachers like to get these little catchphrases, and especially there's something that rhymes in there. To the full extent of God's intent. Yeah, you don't have to sing it. Bob can write a song about it if he's inspired something. The intent that Paul has in mind here in Ephesians is that by using and expressing our gifts, is that we should all come to the unity of the faith and to the unity of the knowledge of the Son of God. How many think we've got there yet in the church? Probably still have a ways to go. He wants us to get to what he calls a perfect or complete or mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And in that verse, that one verse there, Paul uses at least five different Greek words that have to do with maturity, completion, perfection, fullness. He's really emphasizing this is what God wants. You know, we speak a lot and we touched on it this morning about how God doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants everyone to be saved. But He actually wants much more. Much more than just people repenting and reciting the sinner's prayer. He wants the body of Christ to become the bride. He wants the body of Christ to become beautiful and holy and worthy of His Son in every way. So the end goal is not just to squeak into salvation. The end goal is He wants His people reigning in glory. And so He wants us all to come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, and to the measure, the full measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So, Paul says, we are no longer to be children. It looks like I'm speaking to mostly adults in here. But to grow up in all things into Him who is our head. Ever told someone, oh, grow up? Ever tell your kids that? Kids ever tell you that? God's word to the body of Christ is, grow up! Grow up! How much more now in the 21st century than in the first century? God wants His church to grow up. And as we look at the state of the church in the 21st century, and as we believe that the end times are 21 centuries closer than they were when Paul wrote this, how many of you think we need some supernatural help? That's why He gave us the Holy Spirit and gave us gifts. How do we grow up? How does that happen? By speaking the truth in love. And by joining together, instead of separating apart, joining together and contributing the supply of each of our giftings, whatever they may be. And each part working effectively and thus doing its share. Each and every part working effectively. Well, Paul essentially says, when you take out some of his phrase, when you put his phrasing in an order that we would more recognize in English rather than his Greek phrasing, what he says is that the whole body causes growth of the body. The whole body causes growth of the body. So it's not up to just one person to make the body grow. The whole body causes growth of the body. Every cell, every membrane, every organ, every part has to be functioning. And it does so by building itself up in love. In love. And each part takes from the head, from Christ, gets its supply from Christ, and then brings that supply to the rest of the body. They say it takes a village. Well, it takes the whole body to grow up the body. Every part has to work effectively. It's kind of like your car. You get one part, doesn't work properly sometimes. Sometimes the whole car won't even start because of one part. Or it'll start and it'll run, but it won't run very good. Or sometimes you're going down the road and the check engine light comes on. And that's a warning that you're supposed to check the engine. Go to a garage, have them read the code, find out what's going bad that needs attention now before it causes actual problems. Well, there is a check engine light in this scripture as I look at it. And as I look at the church today, there's a check engine light here. What if some parts don't work effectively? Causes problems for the body of Christ. There are some specific gifts that Paul talks about in this passage. The ones that we call the fivefold gifts. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. When Christ ascended, it says He gave gifts to men. Or some translations might say He gave gifts among men. Or you might even have a translation that says He gave gifts of men. Some as apostles, some prophets, and so forth. And the Greek implies it's not that God gifted someone to be an apostle and someone to be a prophet, and it's not just that, but it's that the men themselves, or maybe the women, are the gifts. They are the gifts. They themselves are given to the body in these capacities. Did you know that the Lord can be so generous that He might give you to someone else? He might give you as a gift. The Lord is so generous, He gives away lives. Does that make sense? Do you think He gives lives, gives people? Brings up the question, are we as generous with ourselves as God is? Well, these particular gifts are given for a purpose. And it's not to exalt themselves and lord it over the saints and build up a big name ministry empire. That's not what the Lord gives apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers for. It's to equip the saints. To give the saints the tools they need, the equipment, the knowledge, the know-how, the training, whatever. To give the saints what they need to do the work of ministry, which is building up the body of Christ in love, using their gifts so that they become effective workers. Unfortunately, the church has tended to adopt a different model or different models. We have some models where the fivefold gifted leaders are expected to do all the work. And everyone else is just kind of a spectator. Or the fivefold ministers build up a huge organization. And everyone else feeds into that and contributes to that and supports it. So that essentially everybody is expected to equip them to do their ministries. This is what Jesus calls the doctrine of the Nicolaitans in Revelations when he writes to the churches and he says, I hate that doctrine. I hate that doctrine. The Nicolaitans essentially means kind of anti-laity or suppressing the laity. It's the model where somebody's up here and everybody else is down here and all the people down here pay homage to the person up here. But it's all about this person up here. Jesus says he hates that. You know, what if you saw an announcement in the newspaper that a new supermarket was going up in town? Oh, how about a new hotel? We need a new one. We need another one by the lakefront. This one should be at least 10 stories tall. It's got to be even bigger than the ones that are already there. And so you see the ground is prepared and then some scaffolding goes up. And then there's an announcement in the newspaper, building project finished. Come and see. Come and stay in our brand new hotel. There's nothing but scaffolding there. The church has mistaken the scaffolding for the structure that God wants to build. We're good at putting up scaffolding, but we haven't really built God's building. So, the true measure of the apostle or the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher, the true measure of their ministry is how well is the body functioning? How well are the saints being equipped to use their gifts? Are other people's ministries being birthed and released? You know, we have those banners up there. Rescue, restore, release. That's kind of a mission statement for Mount Zion here. Are people being released in the ministry? And you can be the judge of whether that's happening here or not. But maybe the revival that the church, as much as anything, is a revival of the true apostolic vision of the saints being equipped, of something being imparted to the members so that all the members can function together. I hope we're doing a little of that here. That's the direction God wants for the church. All right, amen. Lord, I pray that you would continue to reveal to us what you want the church to be, how you want it to look, what you want to happen in your people, not just Sunday morning, but on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday as well. What you want to happen in our lives when we're at home and when we're at work and when we're just in our backyard and all of those things, Lord, so that we can bring glory to you. As the scripture says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, be all to the glory of God. And Lord, we're just babes in the woods. We need to learn what that means. Continue to enlighten and instruct us, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to share communion this morning. If I could get some members of the body to come on up and help distribute the elements.